Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Here is a fascinating question to ponder. Is it possible that young children may actually have an innate sense of a creator even before they've been told there is one? Well, Oxford University professor Dr. Olivera Petrovic set out to answer that kind of question when she embarked on a study into children and their beliefs about the natural world, and her findings were fascinating. Dr. Petrovic is soon to release her findings in a book called The Child's Theory of the World, and she joins us now. Dr. Petrovic, welcome to Open House.
Thank you.
So, a fascinating line of inquiry. Before we get to the findings, tell us what you did and how you set the study up. You chose British children and Japanese children. Why those countries?
Well, that is probably the most relevant question that started me off. I was actually quite familiar through developmental psychological research how knowledgeable even infants are about causal understanding. So that most developmental psychologists agree that the foundations of scientific thinking are laid down in infancy, perhaps. But I was reading quite a bit about the Japanese work, as I was already interested in the conceptions of the world that different cultures had. And I came across some really unusual claims that didn't appear to be backed up by any empirical evidence, such as that Japanese people, adults even, not only children, they are not particularly orientated towards thinking about causality. They are more interested in harmony, beauty, and so on. None of this, of course, seemed consistent with very mainstream developmental research, so I decided to actually see if I could go into the field in Japan and do some very direct comparisons. I made two field trips to Japan and tested both children, sort of aged 4, 5, and 6. There were some older 3-year-olds as well. Mm-hmm. And I also had adults, the younger adults, who were science students. Mm-hmm. And then I had an older group of adults who included people well over 40, sort of 40 up to 70, whoever was interested in taking part.
Yes. So when you talk about the Japanese culture, not kind of thinking so much about causality, but more about harmony, beauty, etc., the notion was that Japanese folks don't really think about the cause of things, the beginning of things, the origin of things.
That's right. That's right. That is very much what their indigenous religious tradition actually encourages, both Shinto and Buddhism, I suppose. Mm. The idea being that we can never really know how the world began, so that they simply do not think about those issues. And I was this was very interesting. Even my colleagues in Japan, psychologists, thought that my hypotheses were too Western and that particularly Japanese children may not really understand my questions when I ask them how first things in nature ever began and so on.
Mm. Well,
so there was no problem.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. What kind of questions did you ask the kids then? Where did the first dog come from? Was that those kinds of questions you're asking the kids?
For example, I would show them photographs of a real dog and an exact replica, or very, very similar looking replica and artifact. And then I would ask them about this real dog, how it became a dog, and most children, really all of them actually, know that it came from its mummy and so on. But then I asked them to imagine in their minds the first ever dog, millions of years, a long time ago, when the world began, how that one started. The interesting thing is that they clearly have thought about these things before I asked them, so it's something that is part of their everyday thinking about the world, they're theorizing. That's what I found most fascinating. Yes. And that was the same, I have to say, for Japanese subjects as well, which is extraordinary given the sort of what the literature tells us about Japan.
Yeah. So what was the common answer that you got from both the British and the Japanese children when you asked the question?
Indeed. For example, the predictions that one could make on the basis of the literature would be that you would find very clear differences, that Japanese children really would not have any sort of clear ideas. They would either be responding at chance level or having a very distinct Japanese sort of way of looking at things by saying that it never began. Things have always been there forever, eternal kind of existence hypothesis.
That would fit with the Shinto religion, yes.
Exactly. Yep. Whereas the Western, in this case, British subjects, they would clearly be influenced by their culture and would certainly involve God as the beginnings. Well, that's not what I found. I found that both the British and the Japanese very clearly prefer this sort of the beginning hypothesis, that it does have a beginning, and moreover, that God is the most probable originator of all these things to begin with. So that's very interesting when it comes to Japan, of course.
Very. This is Open House Across the Nation. Dr. Olivera Petrovic is with us, Oxford University developmental psychologist. She's been doing some research into children's natural ideas about the world and even their ideas about God, and it seems that the research suggests that right from the beginning, children have this sense that there is a creator who caused the world to be. Did you find any common conception of God, or was it just simply this nebulous idea of there being some sort of being who made the world?
Well, I did try to look at that. That's very important, you see, because indeed, people might rightly object, well, children just may think of God as a very special human, someone with unusual magical capacities, lives in a different location and performs magic. But that's not the case. In fact, I was trying to identify some of the characteristics of this concept in children, notably those whether or not God is indeed a concrete anthropomorphic being or not. And I think the evidence does really seem to show that children are able to articulate, given the sort of, the method, the provision in the method, they are able to articulate a concept of God or the creator that is utterly different from human beings in many important respects.
And so what kind of God was this God that they could describe to you, these children?
I would say, first of all, and this is important, that culture does make an enormous impact when they are asked to make it explicit what they believe. Because you have to remember, we are talking about things that are not given to us in our sort of experience, visual, auditory, and so on. Children from broadly Christian backgrounds or Hindu children, they do convey their ideas about God in ostensibly anthropomorphic terms, but they will tell you that that's because they have seen the God. You see, they were taught that God is a man, either Jesus or various gods in the Hindu tradition. But the interesting thing is that that does not occur, not nearly on the same scale with the Jewish or Muslim children, for instance, because they do not transmit the same information to those children, even though those children, too, Jewish and Muslim, do actually resort to using some anthropomorphic language, but are able to make it very clear that that is still utterly different, these properties of God being able to do things, to think, and so on, are very different. God either doesn't need a brain when doing these things or has a very different brain from humans.
Mm. And so what was the God that the Japanese children described then?
Very similar, actually. They use certain words. You see, in Japan, I had to work with a translator. I had a research assistant who was actually my translator. So even though I was asking the children, she would always put my questions to them. So they would be making it very clear that the God is someone that they have never seen or can see, but simply thinking that he does exist. Some children even do say, I know that Kamisama exists, but I haven't seen him. Kamisama is the Japanese word for God, which children use a lot.
Were your Japanese colleagues surprised at your findings?
Very. Initially, I think slightly even disappointed. disappointed that I was that I came to Japan with such ideas, because they didn't think it would succeed, you see. Even developmental psychologists said to me, we Japanese simply don't think about these things or don't talk about them. But there were one or two other colleagues, Japanese, who said to me, I'm really glad that you have actually decided to try this out, because the Japanese are simply avoiding to sort of discuss certain issues.
Yes. So the idea is, I guess, bringing your research down, your findings down into something that we can grasp in our minds, that when you go into a non-theistic culture like Japan, who doesn't have a belief in God, when you ask the children, they do have an innate sense that there is a creator who made everything. And even when you push the adults, they will go back to say, well, yes, there is a God who created everything. That's basically what you're saying.
Indeed, indeed. And the way I put it in my papers and so on is that it seems that really all humans, Japanese included, are kind of running a parallel personal theology or metaphysics,
yeah,
that does not correspond entirely with the teachings that their cultures provide for them. Many Japanese people were really very explicit about this. They say, for example, I'm a Buddhist, so we don't really believe in a God who created things and so on. But I do believe that God is someone who helps you. So when I'm ill, or when my daughter was sitting entrance examination, I was praying to God. So, you know, there are very, very clear indications that Japanese people have a kind of everyday theology, their natural theology, which is very similar to the one that,
yes,
Western people have.
It's interesting, because you'll have atheists say that atheism is the default view of humans when they're born, you know, that belief in God is something that is taught and picked up through culture, etc. But your research is actually challenging that view quite strongly.
Absolutely. I would have to say, though, that atheism is something that we perhaps in a dialectic fashion encounter almost from day one as well. There are, I mean, these are the things that we cannot see, we cannot handle, we cannot sort of verify in the same way that we can many other concepts, but it's not that atheism as an idea prevails. That's not so. Even children are struggling sometimes. They put it very beautifully occasionally, actually, young children, these atheistic sort of plausibilities briefly, but that's not what prevails. Their prevailing worldview is more compatible with theism than atheism. That's all I have to say on the basis of my evidence,
yes,
really.
Well, it is fascinating talking to you. Thanks for your time and open house tonight.
Not at all. Thank you. Pleasure talking to you.
Yes.
As well.
Oxford developmental psychologist Dr. Olivera Petrovic there, talking about her research studying the responses of children to questions about the origins of the world, and how basically the findings come down that even children in non-theistic cultures like Japan, where they don't believe in God officially, they will still say that there is a creator who made all of this. And even the adults, when pushed, will actually say they also believe in a creator. Fascinating, hey? Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast if you want to take a listen to it again.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.